Matthew chapter 28, if you want to turn there. In our statement of faith, we have an article there about the ordinances of the church that the Lord Jesus gave us. The Lord's Supper, communion, and also baptism. We observe communion every month. The last Sunday of the month, we observe communion together. What about baptism? Sometimes we don't talk about that very much, but we have an opportunity today to participate in the baptism of some individuals. And it's part of the disciple-making course that Jesus gave us when he commissioned the disciples. He just commissioned all of us. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, he came to his disciples and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we have those two commands given by Jesus, and that makes up our vision statement. In our Constitution, in our statement of faith, our vision statement is that we are to reach out and evangelize, go and make disciples of all the nations. And so we evangelize, and then we edify, we teach, we build up those in the faith, teaching them to observe and obey everything I have commanded you. And so we do that. But this morning, as we have opportunity today to observe and participate in baptism, there's a paper that those who are being baptized receive, and it has an explanation of the history and the instruction concerning baptism. And rather than just leave it to those to read the paper, I thought it would be good to go over some of those articles all together. And so as we begin, we'll back up into the time a little bit, but we will discover what Jesus said about baptism. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. These things are not empty. They're not just a creed to recite, an activity to participate in, but they're full of meaning, the Lord's table, baptism. It's our identification with the Savior, his death and burial and resurrection. And so I pray today that you'd convince us in the truth, that we might walk in the truth, that we would be obedient to you for Jesus' sake. We're going to back up 1999 and a half years. Back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was called of God. He wasn't somebody within a denomination. I want you to know that. There were no denominations back then. So when we say John the Baptist, well, what kind of Baptist was he? Was he conservative? Was he American? Was he? No. He's John the Baptizer. It would be an appropriate name for him, just so we can identify. How many Johns are there in the Bible? There's more than one, isn't there? And so it's John who is doing the baptizing that we're going back to. And he was to prepare Israel for the coming Messiah. John had lived in the desert. He had been away from people. He had been out of the society, the civilized world, so to speak. And he was brought into it by God to do something very specific. And he was told to go and baptize and identify the people of Israel with the coming Messiah. And when he says the Messiah is coming, people are going to go, "I don't think I'm ready." I'm not the kind of person that is allowed into the kingdom of heaven or into the kingdom of God. What can I do to prepare? And so John came and baptized. In Matthew, as long as we're here, you can go back to chapter 3. And verses 1 through 6 tells of his ministry. In those days, chapter 3 and verse 1, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice, this is quoting Isaiah now, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. If we lived in Israel at this time, we would be somewhat familiar with baptism. It was something that people participated in singularly and all by themselves. When a special day was coming, they would go to a mikvah, a little bath in the house or in the basement, we would say, and there would be water, and they would lay aside their clothing, go in and dip under themselves in order to ceremonially be purified, be cleansed of their sin. If they had done something that made them ceremonially unclean, that could be part of this situation too, of immersing themselves in the mikvah. There was also the times when a Gentile, someone like you or me, lived around Jewish people and saw the blessing of God and realized they have a God that comes close. He gave them the law. He gave them a communication from God himself. And I would like to be part of that people. I would like to receive the blessings that God has for that people. Well, a Gentile just can't walk in and say, "Hey, accept me." There were rituals that he had to go through. And one of those was this purification rite of being baptized and being purified ceremonially. And it was very important that he do that. So the Jewish people, the Israeli people, were familiar with this. And when John the Baptist came along, they knew that this is something special. He's declaring that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming. It's in our generation. We need to be ready. And so when he was baptizing, we find that it was a baptism of repentance. And the Gospel of Mark in verse 4 tells us that it was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so they came for that specific purpose, that I'm unclean, I need to be purified, and as I repent and I say, yes, I am unfit, I'm unclean, I'm a sinner, somehow I need, you see, Jesus hadn't died yet. There was no forgiveness through Christ yet. But as I'm baptized, I am confessing my sin for the forgiveness of sins, that God would be merciful to me. It's not a few things. We need to be clear about what it isn't. For one thing, it is not... I got ahead of myself. But we can delete the last sentence. Back in Matthew chapter 3, maybe you're still there. Why was Jesus baptized if he had no sin? If this baptism of John the Baptist was a baptism of repentance, why was Jesus baptized if he had no sin? He wasn't repenting of anything. He did no wrong. But he did something that was very important. And that was to, first of all, he said, well, let's read it. Verse 13 in Matthew 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased. So there are three things that happened when Jesus was baptized. Three things that perhaps we could say began his ministry. He says it was to fulfill all righteousness. And the first thing having to do with that was to identify himself with repentant Israel. He needed to identify with these people that he came to save. And first of all, it's those that are in Israel. Those who repented, who foresaw through John's preaching that the time is at hand. And I need to be prepared to come into this kingdom. And Jesus was baptized as they were to identify with them. They were preparing for the kingdom. He came to fulfill the kingdom. And he identified with them. The second thing was to begin a lifetime in the company of transgressors. And that's what Isaiah 53 spoke about. That he was numbered among the transgressors. Was it in his death? Yes. In his death and bearing the sins of transgressors. In his life? Yes. Who was it that he hung out with? What was the complaint against his company? Why, he hangs out with, the Pharisees said, he hangs out with the tax collectors and sinners. And that's what he came to do. In his baptism, he was identifying with those who say, I have sinned. And Jesus said, it's the sick that need the doctor, not the well. So he came to identify and live a lifetime with the transgressors. And then also, he was baptized and received a public confirmation and blessing from the Father. The Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. The Father spoke, This is my beloved Son. This is the Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So it was necessary to fulfill all righteousness that Jesus be baptized. Baptism, then, is a step of obedience on our part to express the dedication of a believer's life to Christ Jesus. A dedication of our life to follow Christ. And it's not an essential element for salvation. What did Jesus say when he hung on the cross? We read that this morning. What was one of the last things that Jesus said on the cross? It is finished, wasn't it? There's nothing more that we're going to add to Jesus' work of salvation on our behalf. He took all of our sin. He made us fit for heaven. He joined us with the family of God. There's nothing we're going to add to that. And so baptism is not essential for a person's salvation. There was a thief on a cross next to Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? Get down off of there and go be baptized. No. He didn't put any remark about that person. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise today, without any ritual, without any practice that you could do. You're forgiven, man. You're coming with me. So it's not essential for salvation. And it is not a spiritual insurance. It's not saying, okay, I've finally done my part. I did it. I'm done. I'm through. I'm finally fit for heaven. No, the blood of Jesus made us fit for heaven. And baptism isn't adding another insurance, another layer to our salvation. What it is a step of obedience. What did Matthew 28 say? Make disciples and baptize them. And we need to know the key of what that is. It's not a spiritual insurance, and that's important to me. We've been here coming on 28 years. And during that time, there have been a number of people, lots of people who have been baptized, down at the river primarily, cold or hot, it happened down there. But then running into people years later, and how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. Well, how are you doing spiritually? Oh, I guess I don't think about that much. Well, I remember when you were baptized. What did that mean to you? Well, I don't know. Not much, I guess. I think they missed it. They absolutely missed it. No matter what you teach them. There are some people who say, all I have to do is get baptized and I'm good forever. I did it, I'm done. And I can sin with impunity. I won't get caught and spanked. That's not what it's about. That's not what God intended for us when we are baptized. It doesn't add anything to our salvation, but it's proclaiming something from the inside, from the heart. Baptism is a God-ordained way to separate ourselves from our old life. That we are making a conscious decision to part ways with our old life. I'll tell you a story about Nabil. Some of you are aware of that story. Bob and Karen Evans taught school as missionaries in an international school in Casablanca, Morocco. They came several times to our church, and we became familiar through his stories with a young man named Nabil. Nabil was a Muslim, so you know what kind of lifestyle he lived under the oppression of the Islamic religion. He watched and he listened to, visited with Karen and Bob Evans. And things impressed him that were Christian, so much opposite of Muslim. And one major part of his conversion, I'll tell you that ahead of time, he was converted to Christ. He did accept Christ. But one major thing was, Bob, the way you treat your wife, no Muslim man would do that. And that made such an impact on him, he thought there was something to this Christian religion. That following Christ meant a whole different kind of life than what he was accustomed to growing up in a Muslim home, working for a Muslim employer, and so on. One day, as Bob told the story, he was taking Nabil home, and he asked Nabil, "Are you ready to receive Jesus as your Savior?" And Nabil said, "Silence." And he finally said, "If I become a Christian, it becomes the end of my life as I know it." He would not get a wife. He would not get a job. He would be kicked out of his home. You and I haven't faced that, have we? But when he became a Christian, he invited Christ into his heart, then he was baptized to declare, I am moving from being a Muslim to being a Christian. I have made that decision in my heart. I have confessed my sin before God, and I am no longer Muslim. In the little patio behind Evan's home in their apartment, they put up tarps over that whole area. They covered it so it was a tent. They put a child's wading pool out on the patio, filled it full of water, and Nabil was baptized in that. He didn't want all the neighbors to be talking about town, about how Nabil had become a Christian. He would do it as Karen and Bob had done it, and live a life that people say, hey, that's different. But he didn't need the persecution of people throwing things at him from an upper story window. And so they kept it secret, but not to become a secret service Christian, but just so the persecution wouldn't be magnified against Nabil. But what he was saying is the same thing that we say when we're baptized. I am no longer what I was. I'm not under the domination of sin, of going my own way. As Isaiah 53 says, we are all like sheep and we've gone our own way. We've gone astray. We've gone our own way. But the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And so to receive Christ is to take that. I'm no longer that wanderer. I'm no longer that one separated from the Lord. I identify with Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 8, about another man whose way changed on his way. Acts chapter 8, it's the story about the Ethiopian. You know that story. Perhaps you don't. So I'm going to read it to you. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, a Christian, one of the leaders in the church, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, so he was probably a proselyte. Man from Africa went to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. What did it take for this eunuch to become a Christian? Faith. He put his faith in the Word of God from Isaiah chapter 53. It was explained to him, this spoke of Christ Jesus. And he said, got it. I want to identify with him. Just as I would be pure with a mikveh that when I became a proselyte, I want to be pure before the Lord, but it's in identification with the one who purifies through the blood. It's the Lord Jesus. And that eunuch is given the credit of bringing the gospel to Africa. Well, baptism is a spiritual reality and a physical participation in a holy decision. One thing we need to know is that there is a general, every believer is baptized by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, we're told, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Notice the word all. We were all baptized into the body of Christ, into Christ. And we go back to Romans chapter 4. Baptism demonstrates our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Don't you know that all of us, at verse 3, were baptized? Who were baptized into Christ Jesus, and were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Boy, that's what it's all about. We were baptized by the Holy Spirit. We were baptized to be buried with him into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So in his death and burial and resurrection, what is true of Christ is to be true of us too. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. We're going to demonstrate that with three individuals today. And if you would like to stay, you're welcome to, but we will be singing a closing song. And if you must go, we're not going to hold you, but I would encourage you to participate with these who are being baptized and give the illustration of their testimony. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work you do in our lives. May you be honored, glorified, and be pleased as individuals declare their faith in you. Thank you for saving us for your glory in Jesus' name.